Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ok, Petter, da vi der igjen. Samme gamle sirkuset, altså mens kollega Murvold gnudde på med sånn strøken amerikansk «Thank you, mate, you're a god's good sports, mate». Det var kanskje australsk.
Ja, det bommet du allerede der.
Da han intervjuet La Liga-stjerne på Granca, så skal jeg da prøve meg på, og du da, for så vidt også, på utenlandsk igjen.
Men det jo gode nyheter. Han snakker jo egentlig flytende svensk.
Ja, fordi det jo slik, Jordi, at du forstår norsk og svensk, men forløpig så vil du ikke snakke så mye selv, det sånn?
Ja, jag förstår det lite absolut och det är många år nu mellan Sverige och Norge. Så du frågar mig på norsk. Jag tror att jag kan förstå det 80% kanske.
Ja.
Men jag kommer inte svara på engelska. Jag tror det är bättre.
Du var bra där då.
Alltså Jordi is better in Swedish than you are in English.
Oh no no.
Not. That's easy to establish.
Okay, last years. Problemet jo at vi snakker jo aldri, we never talk English anymore in the daily life. Hør på aksangen da. Men vi hørte jo det på Gran Canaria at du ropte jo, det kommer vatten! Da vannet, you were in charge of the watering system in
He wasn't in charge. Training.
Wow, guys, you know every detail. That's impressive.
And then he shouted, not in English, but det kommer vatten! Da var det vanningsanlegget.
Oh, det sant. Det sant. I have my word sentences in Swedish. So, and I know they are applying well in Norway yes. as well.
Ja,
so.
Ja. Det forstår vi.
Det var klart. Ja.
Det var klart.
Til alle spillere.
Yes. Og så vil jeg jo si det at Alfred Johansson, han har jo vært tydelig til både meg og Petter, at vi skal jo presse, vi har gått til push a little bit.
Perfect, please.
Ja, for du forstår mer enn du pretend.
Exakt.
Ja. Men du mener at du bedre enn meg, så da kan jeg bare lene meg bakover, så kan du ta over hele showet da.
Ja, det kan jeg jo, men det hadde vært litt kjedelig. Du ville være med, sikkert.
men Hordi, du har vært i Sverige og i Norge siden 2011. Vi har jo en hopptrenerstøkkel som snakker fluent norsk.
Det gjorde han etter et kvarter i Norge.
Ja, flere eksempler du litt lat, som ikke har tatt ordentlig tak. Litt lazy, not... spoke more Swedish in all these years, Norwegian?
No, actually, I will say I'm feeling excited to speak more Swedish or Norwegian. That's yeah. the truth. But as I said before, off record.
now it's on.
Now it's on. Yeah. That's fine. I'm actually going to say the same. But it's true that at the beginning, I wanted to invest my time and knowledge into the English narrative. But after many years now, I think it's time to apply all this surrounding environment, people talking Norwegian, Swedish around me. So I'm more than happy that you guys push me. That's yeah. good.
Da kommer vi til å blande litt.
Kjør norsk du, Ole.
Ja, vi kommer til å blande litt, så kan vi ta spørsmålene hvis det vanskelig på engelsk. Så var vi litt usikre på om du i det hele tatt kunne komme i dag. Har du vært syk, Hordi?
Sick?
Ja, så vi hører rykter om en Rosenborg-kaptein.
Nei, men inte mig.
Nei.
Inte mig.
Det gikk bra?
Yeah, I think it's important to be protected, good energy, workouts, good food and drink, and good resting. So,
but there was a norovirus in the squad the last couple of days at Gran Canaria.
Yes,
and we were joking about it last time. Oh, I hope no one gets get sick. It on the plane.
Yeah.
Det skjedde jo.
But it happened.
It happened. It was unfortunate actually, but it happened. And the players did really well, especially some of them. I don't know how they handled this long trip of 6 hours on the plane. And it was actually like they were dropping like every hour one player, you know. We were turning around, another one feeling sick. And at some point it was a little bit, we felt bad, of course, because it's not the most comfortable place where to feel bad. But
maybe they survived. The worst place. Maybe yeah, the worst place.
I guess so. But we felt that after a day that we allowed the players to have some time off. They were eating somewhere in the city, and some virus or bacteria was around, and they were feeling bad.
Yeah.
What about now then?
They are fine. Everyone? Actually. Yeah, yeah. They are back, and they are been actually resting a few days at home after the trip, and now they are back in training.
Fordi, jeg hører jo nå at det kommer til å gå på engelsk og norsk, eller det, så ha miskunn med oss, folkens.
Ja, ja, ja.
Men vi hørte jo rykter om en, jeg skal ikke nevne noe av, men en mangeårig Rosenborg-kaptein de siste årene, da, som slet ordentlig på den her flyturen hjem, og du advarte om det på forhånd, sant, i forrige podcast, Petter. Og så ville Skåne og familien han kom hjem, Anne-Helene og barna, nevner ikke navn fortsatt.
Så skjønner
jeg. Men jeg tror Markus lå på hotell rett etter hjemkomst for å skåne familien, for han fikk det her ordentlig på fly, og jeg unner Markus Henriksen, jeg unner ingen å få det her på flyet. Murvold, kollega vår, var jo på samme fly, og han observerte jo litt rann.
Så var det toalettet i foran jo, fordi jeg var stengt hele turen,
ja.
Dedicated til syke folk.
Uff.
Tenkte jeg hadde vært innpå der, da.
Ja, nei, jeg synes innpå, men det går heldigvis over, da. Så. Ja. Men så hører vi jo da at alt som skjer i Rosenborg-garderoben og på treningsfeltet, det jo på engelsk nå. Så det jo blitt yes. den nye standarden.
This is true. English is the language that has been chosen, basically because we have foreign players and I think it's easier and we simplify the process by optimizing time, talking English, everybody understands, punkt slut, that's how it goes.
At,
but the man-to-man coaching yeah, is of course. Often in Swedish.
Yeah, and that's of course, if we talk to Jaden, it's going to be in English.
Yeah.
If we talk to Marcus, I can do it in English, but Alfred can speak Swedish or Norwegian, that's how it's going to work.
But how important is it for you then to do everything for when you have meetings for every player that everything is in English?
I mean, I think it's about common sense. We have players from all around and not everybody gets every detail when we speak Swedish or Norwegian. So I think it's fair that we are sure that the message is arriving to every player and every coach. So that's the only reason. And right now people feels comfortable with and we go from there.
For noe med inkluderingen, Petter, altså nå skal vi ikke rette noen pekefinger mot noen, men vi har jo hørt trener I Rosenborg tidligere som har vært på mitt nivå liksom på engelsk og det kommer noe litt feil, litt artigheter av det sånn, på sosiale medier og sånt, sant? I ja. Lost in Translation.
Ja, ja.
Men det jo noe med at alle møter, alle felles ting skjer på samme språk. Jaden Nelson føler seg jo åpenbart mer som en del av gjengen hvis alt skjer på engelsk når de møter.
Ja, ja, helt åpenbart. Og kanskje det spesielt fint for Nelson, for han trenger jo litt hjelp med det taktiske, og da passer jo fint at han skjønner alt, og ikke bare litt.
Exactly. But actually, it's a good point, and I have actually something to mention that can reinforce the fact why we use English. We are presenting now our game model, isn't it, to players and staff, the way we want to play, and we have a long terminology in English, specific words that means a specific situation on the pitch, for example, or a phase of the game. We need to, and we want actually to create this terminology in the vocabulary of players and staff. So when we speak, we speak the same. And if we talk about playing between lines, everybody knows what does it mean, playing between lines. Or if we talk about pressing or pushing, there are different terms that we want also to differentiate when it comes to the meaning. And that's actually a good point that you mentioned because we are in this process of learning each other how we speak and how we communicate.
Mm. Offside, skjønner alle.
Offside is the same. Yeah.
Så ikke sånn ut I første gangen mot Rasmus oss alltid på alle, men
not in training actually because sometimes it's offside and it's not for us coaches ja. Like doing referees ja, and ja. The players get so pissed.
Ja, ja,
but we said day one we are bad referees. You are. Don't complain.
Ja. That's an old trick at Lerkendal.
Yeah, well.
That's Nils Arne used to do the same. If the training is, you know, if the intensity is a bit low, if the quality is not good enough, just start to be the baddest referee possible.
Exactly. Then I don't think we are that good. If the training is good, we are bad referees as well.
Alfred, how is his English?
Top.
Top.
Yes.
But he's young and
top notch.
Top notch.
Tetti trenger vi ikke å snakke om. Den engelsken tror jeg.
Ja, den solid.
Ja, den solid. Og nå da?
Lund Hansen sin engelsk da?
Alex Lund Hansen, his English, is that okay?
I think so. Actually, I met him not as much as others, but I think it's good.
Åfjord English?
Yes, yeah. He's from Åfjorden, it's like on the other side of the fjord here.
Yeah. I don't know actually the accent, but I've been... How do you say it about the Norwegian up here?
Trøndersk?
Trøndersk.
Yes. Do you find it hard to understand?
Not at the moment. I mean, guys, I'm listening to you and... Yeah. Sounds good for me.
Jeg snakker ikke trøndersk da. Det kan du ta helt
fullstendig. But we adapt. He's not trøndersk. He's from the...
Cold, middle of Norway.
He's from the mountains.
og nå da, kom jo en liten elefant I rommet her. Vi får se da om Hordi vil si noe om det. For nå kommer det en slovakisk midtstopper fort da. Thomas Nemčík fra Žilina.
Det sikkert Nemčík.
Nemčík. Det siste fra Slovakia jo at... Og det meldes fra Slovakia da. At det et lån med opsjon på kjøp. Hör du snackar Thomas Nemčík gott engelsk?
Ja, vet inte. But it's a good push. I mean, I think you're doing right. But I'm a good defender, eh?
Ja. Men vad kan du si om han? Alltså, det är ju ett rykte som går om han och Rosenborg här.
No, we know guys that you of course has been talking about this player as an option and obviously the club is doing the work. We need to understand that we are coming into the window transfer and we need to check every point. The strength and the weaknesses and the possibilities that we have to look around the market and the name that you mentioned, I don't know much to be honest. But I actually
are after, you honest?
After, after reading the newspaper, I was there and googling the player, so I got some info. Thank you so much.
Nei, masse U21-landskapet for Slovakia da, og det sies at den god med ball, har sine store styrker I det offensive delen av spillet, venstrebeint, og så har det vært litt sånn det defensive som har vært spørsmålet ved han her Nemčík. Så får vi se. Alt tyder på at han blir Rosenborg-spiller, eller slik det nå, innen det aller nærmeste. Kanskje allerede noe her legges ut på, til the public. Men
jeg synes jo det, altså, nå har vi jo så langt I vinter snakket om spillere ut. Det her noe av det morsomste å snakke om. Det her, det jo det her Rosenborg på en måte handler om for mange I overgangsvindua. Hvem kommer, hvem går, ja, sant. Men det har jo stort sett handlet om spillere ut.
Ja.
Det jo litt kult at det et navn som kanskje kan være på vei inn også.
Ja. Men kan du si noe om, dette jo en midtstopper som det skrives om. Jeg skjønner at du kommer til å være forsiktig her, men det en posisjon hvor dere leter?
Yeah, I understand. I mean, I don't have to be careful. I mean, to be honest, once again, we have a lot of central backs, especially from the academy as well, that they've been participating in Spain right now, and they did great on training and games. We have already established central backs in the squad that we value because qualities, because experience, because presence and personality, which is important. But as I said, we need to check every position right now in the squad. We know that we just came. We are scanning what are the possibilities. And absolutely, we want a specific competence when it comes to a back line player, centrally or right left. And left-footed players are well considered in our game model. And absolutely, it could be an interesting option to see different possibilities in the market in this window.
Det var det jeg skulle til å si. Han sa det jo litt selv her nå, men det jo to typer spillere, som enhver klubb til enhver tid ser etter. Det en spiss som skårer mål,
ja.
Og så en venstrebeint stopper.
Ja.
Det liksom de to mest verdifulle spillerne på en fotballbane, omtrent. Det I hvert fall de aller fleste klubber ser etter til enhver tid. Her det venstrebeint, venstre stopper, så det, han jo på den hylla.
Ja, han på den hylla, så vil jo ikke det her roende spekulasjonene om Ulrik Utvigo Jensen, sant? Du har jo Anton Augustinsson, som ett år igjen av avtalen sin. Han har jo knapt vært spillskikkelig, som de sier I Sverige, siden han kom hit. Så har vi ung gutta I Røsten og nå også Volden, sant? Og så har Mikkel Seid tatt opp hansken her, og plutselig blitt en som har meldt seg ordentlig på. Du uttalte deg om Håkon Volden I Gran Canaria, og du sa jo litt sånn at jeg ser jo ikke på alder. Han 16 år, ok, men han god.
Absolutely, and I said it before, really good impression from all these young guys. Well committed approach into these first weeks of training. and Håkon, like others, perform at really good level. We were impressed because the level of focus when it comes to understand the way we want to play. First days in the hotel, trying to present how we want to play, details that we want to apply already in training and games. And they actually nailed it. And Håkon did really well, especially in the first game, second half, where he was really offensive. He understood at once everything we wanted from him. And Alfred, actually, we were having a discussion and he was mentioning his capacity to understand, actually, and apply details like being the blind side of the striker when you are defending. And he got it at once. And he has been consistent on these details. So this is something that impressed us so much.
Da betyr det at han fort med I planene fremover, Petter. Gode skussmål for Volden, men det ikke grunn til å tvile på det. Han var jo
nei, god. Nei, noen av ville ha vært helt kjemperart. Det er jo litt spennende også med denne utgaven av Rosenborg. Den økonomiske situasjonen tvinger det frem, men det også sånn at allerede nå har vist seg frem noen trønderske unge talenter, som så spennende og så gode at de helt garantert kommer til å prege det her laget fremover. Men det jo litt sånn, ok, her de. Men hvem av dem blir det til slutt?
Ja.
For alle blir det neppe.
Og hvor
men
mange...
noen av det kan fort være Singstad-Borden, for eksempel.
Og hvor mange kan de da bruke for å...
Samtidig.
Rosenborg ble nummer 9 I fjor. Det presset har dere sikkert, Hordi. Altså, kan man da bruke 7-8 slike unge gutter og likevel bli bedre enn I fjor? Det vanskelig. Altså, det jo et dilemma, sant? How many youngsters can you use at the same time and still climb on the table?
I don't think it's a dilemma at all. First of all, Alfred and me, we're coming from many years coaching in academies. And we value a lot all these years of development because we believe on it. We know that working with the right planning, individual planning, collective plan for every young player, we can get the best versions. So first of all, the youngest guys that they are potential players for the first team are a gift to have. Because we know that in a short and medium term, we can get good versions of themselves. That's the first thing. The second one is to be a competitive team. It's true that we have to balance the squad with other profile of players, players with more experience, that they are consolidated already in top football. And we also have them. But still, there is a margin to improve in every individual, isn't it? So we believe that that's apply also to them. We don't expect that to win titles or compete up there in the table is about having the most expensive players. Not at all. We know the situation in the club and we know that we have to have low risk when it comes to investment. And we respect that and support that part. That's not like a condition that is compromising the project at all. So the balance between young players and experienced players is there. That's something that we want and we spoke with Mikkel Dorsin and is apply. Now it's about how good are we to get the best version of every player. It doesn't matter if they are 16 or they are 30. And that's in our hands. And we believe that we can glue all these different profiles into a way of playing that they are synchronized, coordinated, that they are believers into what we want to do. And the formula at least has to work better in 6 months than today. We believe on that.
Snakker jo... Jeg hører på hva han sier her.
Ja, tøft. Det jo... Det har jo vært... Det har vi jo snakket om mange ganger, at det har vært vanskelig å få øye på spillere som har blitt vesentlig bedre av å spille på Rosenborg.
Ja.
Det har jo handlet kanskje I stor grad om at man har hentet ferdig etablerte spillere. Nå har man jo en helt annen spillergruppe, så det trengs jo et helt annet fokus også. Det blir spennende å se, for de her spillere må jo ta steg. Det kult å være smågod mot Las Palmas på Gran Canaria I januar, men du skal stå I det I en ganske tøff elitserie igjen en hel sesong. Det noe annet.
Ok, den første. Da vi kommet dit. Den første altså, du må hjelpe meg, Jordi González Aznar.
Jordi.
Jordi?
Yes.
González. Aznar.
Yes. Ja. González, pappas navn.
Okay.
Og Aznar mamas.
So, because we have been discussing, me and Petter, are you using both surnames? Are you using just González?
No, I mean, you normally in Spain use the name and the surname, which is Jordi González.
Okay.
But I use Aznar as well sometimes because it's my mother's side, and that's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
But Jordi González is, I mean, we use the surname in Spain as well.
Okay.
Name and surname.
44 år da, du fra rett utenfor Barcelona?
Exactly, yeah. Small village, beautiful in the coast, like 20 minutes from the city.
What's the name?
Premià de Dalt, Thank you for asking, yeah. because I'm really proud of my village.
Så han egentlig ikke spanjol, han katalaner.
Exakt. We speak Catalan all the time, but also Spanish. But
katalansk litt annerledes enn...
Yeah, it's different. Actually, my dad's side is from Madrid, so I have a lot of family in the capital of Spain. And if I speak Catalan, they can follow, but not understand fully.
Okay.
Så, kan du forskjellen på katalansk og kastiliansk?
Nei.
Ikke det, nei?
Nei, men det det litt sånn sterke dialekter, kanskje?
Ja, og en sterk identitet også knyttet til Barcelona-området. Det stor forskjell på Barcelona og Madrid.
Ja, det vet jeg. Identiteten vet jeg, men språket...
Ja, det litt forskjellig.
Der sliter jeg. Men du har jo en bakgrunn som interessant. Den skal vi snakke om mer senere, blant annet toppspiller I futsal, Barcelona.
Yes.
Det tar vi etterpå. Kai Bardal har utleiret henne, får vann I munnen. Det bare å glede seg, Kai, på det her. Vi har jo... Men så ble det jo headhuntet av Alfred Johansson. Vi lurer jo litt på det fortsatt, Jordi. Alfred, han som ringte deg, eller? He called you? Hvordan kom det her I stand?
Now what do you mean when
ja, da Rosenborg.
Yeah, I mean, we always speak. I mean, we have a long relation since we worked together in Ugarn. And we share our work daily. I visited him in Schopenhagen many times. He came to Hecken the last years. He came to Sandefjord when I was there or... We've been always traveling and visiting because we are curious about how we're doing. We are friends and colleagues and we are both ambitious to work at top level. And when that came up, he told me, I want you to come with me. And obviously, it's difficult to say no when it comes to work with Alfred. As I said before in other interviews, he's a young and talented coach and beautiful human being. I think he's a guy that he sees the picture really clear. He knows what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. And for me, it was just an exciting project to share, especially in Rosenborg, which basically is the biggest club in Norway with the biggest history in Europe. And that from my side, I have to see it as a club that I have to learn a lot. And I said it many times. I mean, there is a strong identity, not only in the club but in the city. I could feel from the beginning the people around the club how much do they feel and love the club. And I'm outsider. I just need to learn how you see the club because I want to feel the same in a short time. Then I can be more a better representer of the club as an assistant coach, and we can. We can be more fair with the history of the club and hopefully we can add something in the history of the club in a positive way. Because as you said before, talking back about my village and from where I'm coming with a strong identity in my pocket since I left my village in Barcelona. And that's something that is following me all the time. And I know how important it's for me in my daily work to know from where you are, to know what is your identity, your culture, your language. All this is key. And of course, you have the same here. And I have to be involved fully, deeply into that environment so I can be more precise and I can be the best representative and assistant coach for Rosenborg.
Da vi jobbet med denne treneransettelsen, så dukket navnet ditt opp for oss svært tidlig.
Mm.
Navnet ditt lå I luften lenge. Mm. Så tok det likevel ganske lang tid før det ble offisielt.
Mm.
Hva ble denne tiden brukt til? Hvorfor tok det litt tid? Altså, for oss så virket det kjempetidlig som at ok, hvis om Alfred Johansson kommer til Trondheim, så kommer også du til Trondheim.
Ja, but I understand you asking it was a little bit long to the last decision. Huh?
What happened during those weeks?
I mean, first of all, remember with Beko Hecken, we were playing the last games in Europa League. So it was this period that we play Leverkusen at home and then we were waiting to play Karabakh in Azerbaijan, last game of the season. And obviously, processes of dealing and talking and discussing are not quick when you are involved into the competition period. And it was an important period as well in Hecken. Things were happening as well around the club. So it was a little bit noisy and I wanted to take every step and move in the right direction. We knew that everything was going to end in Rosenborg, but I like to, you know, not to rush, have my commitment in the in the final decision, but I want to do things right in the right moment with the right timing. And that was the only reason. It was nothing else.
So it wasn't hesitation. It wasn't you wondering whether it was
right
or not.
No, not at all. Not at all. But we have to understand that in all this process with Häcken, we had to cancel a contract because I still had one more year. And that takes time sometimes when the club is in a, yeah, not confused process, but in a, yeah.
Så du var ikke nære ved å bli med Per Mathias til Japan?
Til example. That's one example as well. I mean, there were things happening in the club, like Per going to Japan and other coaches and players. So we just respect the timing when it comes to Häcken. I have to say that they did amazing. Martin Eriksson was the best sporting director at the time, of course, because he was helping all the process, all in. And then with Dorsin has been the same. He has been fantastic from minute one, trying to help as much as possible. And at the end, the deal was done and the papers were on the table signed. And that was all. And it took longer than Alfred, but I don't think it was a problem at all. We already have a gentleman's agreement and the papers were just waiting for the signature.
I'm not sure you asked that you answered Ole's question. Did Per Mathias ask you to come to Japan with him?
Not really.
No.
No. I mean, of course you can talk about options. Like, what do you think about this project? Yeah, of course it's interesting. I mean, at the end, Per and me, we've been working together with Martin Feuchton many years. Mm. So absolutely, when something comes up for Per, he can consider me. But it's not like a must. No. It's not like something I put it there like it's going to happen. Not at all. We don't have never that deal like, we are. We have to follow each other. I mean, life is as it is, and sometimes opportunities are coming only for one coach, or two coaches, or three coaches, and then you consider every option. In that case, I was more than happy that Per could take that opportunity. He is my friend. He is my mentor. He has been the person I learned a lot close to him, working the last years in the national team and in Häcken and Djurgården previously, and I have full respect and love for Per. So when he decided to go, I was just trying to support him and encourage him, and I still do it. So actually we speak almost every week. Now we're sharing new experiences. He's in Tokyo, I'm in Trondheim. So
Det samme det, Tokyo og Trondheim.
Yeah.
Same.
It's a good connection.
men altså, du sier at du har kjent Alfred siden lenge tilbake, altså i Djurgården, jeg vet ikke, 2014 eller noe sånt, kanskje, 10 år.
Yeah, more or less.
Men da var jo han, du jo 44,
yes.
Og han jo 33.
Yes.
Så han var jo det vi kaller det på norsk, en liten snorunge som kom og skulle få råd fra.
Snorunge?
Jeg bodde jo på rommet med Paul André Helland da jeg spilte på Kilemne, og da var jeg 25, han var 16 eller sånt, 24 han var 16, jeg synes det var helt pyton, sant? Han var jo en liten drittunge. Så var det jo veldig greit til hvert på, da. Så vi har et godt forhold I dag. Men, så du, det var ikke noe problem at kom en 11 år yngre guttunge og skulle få råd fra Jordi her?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, I don't see that as a problem. I told you before off record, but I can say it on record, that age for me is nothing else than just a number.
No.
Yeah. I have good friends. They are 50. Per Mathias is one of them. Per Mathias is one of these friends that...
Han over 60.
64, huh?
64.
But he's 35. Yeah. The way he behaves, the way he thinks, the happiness that he has, the energy that he gets every morning, this is a young man. And this is the type of person I want in my life. Mm. And Alfred, of course, is younger.
So Alfred er en gammel mann I en ung kropp.
Nei, I didn't say that. That's not true. I didn't say that. Alfred, of course, is a young man, but he's a young man mentally as well. And we like the same things. We see football in the same way, but he's energetic coach and person, and that's why I admire. I want people with good energy. That's what give you... Yeah, a lot of energy actually. So
når han da når han ringte så du trengte ikke lang tid på å svare ja. Du ville det ganske med en gang. Når han ringte og sa Rosenborg vil ha oss begge, da sa du bare brukte du lang tid på å tenke deg om.
Exact. No, you don't have to. You have to think a little bit of course. Everybody has a personal life. But as soon as this is decided, it's everything was positive. So
And your name on Alfred is Affe. Is that your personal kosenavn på Alfred? Or
did I say Affe now?
Yes, you did.
Oh. The cuddling name for the coach, Affe?
is it, are you the only one calling him Afe? Or is Afe
maybe
the...
because it's, of course we are friends. So if I said Afe, it's because I call him Afe.
Yes, because you do.
Yeah, then it's...
Og Tetti kaller han bare sjefen. Han kaller alltid Chef, bare sjefen.
That's true. Tetti is calling him boss all the time.
Sjefen.
Sjefen. It's good.
Men Tetti kjente du jo fra tidligere, for han hadde du på da du var fysisk trener for La Norge, exact. Sant? Da var jo Tetti der.
Tetti is a fantastic guy. I mean, first of all, as a player, he was this type of player that everybody wants to have in his team. And now as a coach, he's the same personality. He's a lovely, hard... human being with a lot of love to give. I can feel that always. He has this open heart. And then he's curious. He's so committed now with the project. He wants to learn. He knows he's in this first ages of his life as coach. And first of all, it's not only about how much he can learn. It's about how much he's giving to the staff and to the team.
Last week he told us he was... At the moment, he was playing coach.
Exactly. Or
acting as a coach.
It's easy for us also when we miss one player. Tetti, you're going to play there. But we try to avoid that as much as possible.
Don't use him. His knee is totally off.
No, I don't know that. But still, physically, he's strong.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
men jeg anbefaler folk å høre på forrige uke, da, for Tetti jo det noen som gir energi I verden, og Tetti en av dem som gir energi I verden.
Tetti en god bit, rett og slett.
Ja, nei, god bit. Den andre, det blir da meg I dag. Jeg går jo da intensiv helg I møte, Petter. Ja. RBK Folkets lag på fredag på Lade, gleder meg. RBK Kvinner Folkets lag på Kyrksetterøra på lørdag, gleder meg. Og Rosenborg Ranheim på Kyrksetterøra søndag, gleder meg til det. Og adressa sender sjølsagt kampene. Og det jeg har fått æren av å kommentere alle de her kampene, du har jo frihelg, så du bare lusker deg unna den.
Det skal være 50-årsdag på Oppdal, det.
Ja, ja, lykke til med det.
Takk.
De tar du komme da, i alders... Men om dere har noen fun facts da, på Estil Rønningen fra Besta eller Grytbakk fra Rindal, bring it on. Rindal røk 13-0 for treff her I treningskamp, men for alle dere som frykter for Grytbakk var ikke med da. Så det kanskje han ladde opp til folkets...
Men det blir jo det en fin helg for alle som glad I fotball, alle som glad I Rosenborg, alle som glad I Ranheim, alle som glad I breddefotballen. For her alle nivåer involvert ja. Gjennom hele helgen, og det topp stemning. Det også Eggens trenerskole da, I Sodbunnhallen. På kyrksetterøra, men...
to kamper...
Det kommer jo alltid til å være litt ekstra spennende når det Kåre Ingebrigtsen, ja. Paul André Helland, Kristian Eggen Rismark mot Rosenborg. Ja.
Og Rosenborg har ikke noen god rekord mot Ranheim I treningskamper, egentlig, sånn siste året. Ikke...
Did you know that? Rosenborg, they don't beat Ranheim in treningskamper in the wintertime.
Yeah, I heard about that, but well...
We're
here to change the history, isn't it?
yeah.
So let's start with the friendly games in winter. But I mean, at the end, now we are in a process. And of course, guys, we know that you look at all these details, even in preseason, and you like a lot to decide already who is going to win Eliteserien, who is going to be on the bottom, which is really interesting because at
we
once,
know it's Bodø/Glimt.
Okay. So
don't take me in. Vi? Hvem disse vi?
Hopefully it's Bodø/Glimt rather than Molde at least.
Okay.
Because we don't like Molde.
But it's good to.
I don't like Molde.
but it's good to put your bets there. Fine. I respect that. But I mean, it would be already too boring if we think the same. So we need to push as well what it's supposed to be the most common sense ending in season based on budgets and also, of course, players and trending in the last years. We need to break all the
Men,
trends.
Men det veldig få som kommer til å tippe Rosenborg øverst nå. Det kommer dere sikkert til å leve godt med også. Men samtidig, Rosenborg kan ikke bli nummer 9 et år til. Det forstår du.
Exactly. I mean, sportively we have targets, no matter how is the situation in the club. And at the end of the day, we have to remember something. We have amazing players. That's the reality. We have really good talented players with a lot of qualities. And this is the thing. We cannot just say we don't have whatever player or we are not signing a really expensive player from any other league. That's not the fact. The fact is that we have great players today and that we can work with them daily.
Are they competitive till att kunna vinna serien?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. We have a good squad that we can compete and that's what we want. And winning or losing is a consequence of the process. Mm. If we put all the cards on the table, if we take the best cards we can on the table every week, every day, Absolutely, we're going to compete, and that's why we are here. Otherwise, we'll be boring, ja. First of all, and unfair for everyone.
Man sier I hvert fall det da, offensiv, og sier at spillerne gode nok til å kjempe om seriegull, ferdig med det.
Ja, og sånn må det også være Rosenborg, og så kan det jo hende at virkeligheten litt annerledes når man teller opp til slutt, men man må jo starte der. Det må jo begynne med et ønske om å være best. Hvis ikke, så kan man jo bare, then you just have to, then you can just go back to Barcelona.
Exactly, I go to my village and I don't bother you guys.
it's quite important for you to know, you know that it's really important not to like Molde when you're in Rosenborg.
Fine, I mean,
No, not fine. Okay. Mandatory. Okay. You have to. Then,
maybe it was in the at the bottom of the contract. Yes. Maybe it was there and yes. I missed it. But
small,
I listened to
small
you.
Letters. Yeah, yeah. In the bottom of the contract, small letters.
Exactly.
You didn't see that one?
No. Okay. I'm gonna check now when I'm back.
You have to. Yeah, you have to.
Og så går det jo tid her da Men den tredje, vi tar det kjapt opp etter For mens Jordi og Co har vært på Gran Canaria Så har jo du vært den som har følt mest opp Rosenborg kvinner her hjemme Og ukene går Og det fortsatt ingen trener på plass Hva skjer?
Nei, det en litt interessant situasjon på Koteng Arena For da Sten Alén sa at han ikke orket mer og sto av Så ble det jo tidlig presentert en, et scenario Hvor man skulle hente en midlertidig intern løsning I mitt vokabulær så en midlertidig intern løsning, det någonting du har på hånda.
Og som ordner
seg kjapt, liksom, det her var på en fredag, det ordnet, da har du det klart på mandagen. Nå har det gått tre uker, hvilket leder meg til å tro at det finns ingen intern midlertidig løsning I Rosenborg. Det ingen som vil ha den jobben akkurat nå, av de menneskene man har tilgjengelig. Vi har jo også sett litt på hvem det som har papperen og orden til å kunne ta den jobben, og kartlagt litt rann, og det... Akkurat for meg nå så det så ser jeg ingen som internt som tar den jobben og så vet jo vi at de har også sondert litt hva skal vi kalle det da
eksternt
personer I kategorien kjenner Rosenborg godt og som Rosenborg kjenner godt
ja.
Gamle kjenninger skal vi kalle det da Rosenborgere som kanskje ikke I Rosenborg akkurat nå men der det heller ikke noen napp ennå og det betyr jo tror jeg at altså Der Dorsin var mannen som ansvarlig for å ansette Jordi og Alfred, så det da Mats Pettersen som ansvarlig for å ansette ny permanent hovedtrener for damelaget.
Og det tok jo et halvt år på herresiden.
Ja, det tok et halvt år. Men kanskje må det ta litt kortere tid på Koteng, det vet jeg ikke. Men jeg tror nok at den jobben allerede godt I gang, fordi ja. At å bruke tre uker på å finne en intern midlertidig løsning, det rimer ikke.
Og nå Brann I kvartfinale I Champions League, Vålerenga ruster opp som bare det.
Men parallellen det til Lerkendal og Koteng egentlig ganske lik på mange måter nå, sant? Fordi at nå har Rosenborg kvinner kvittet seg med, eller måtte ha kvittet seg med flere profilerte store navn, med stor, tung og lang erfaring I toppserien, voksne spillere, bytte dem ut med flere av de mer spennende unge norske talentene.
Ja.
Så det en liten sånn restart I troppen der også. Snittalderen har gått betydelig ned I løpet av det siste året. Men kanskje mengden talent konstant, det vet jeg ikke. Men man må I hvert fall utvikle den troppen på egentlig litt sånn parallelt vis som Jordi og Alfred også nødt til å gjøre på Lerkendal nå. Spennende tider. Ingen åpenbar gullkandidat akkurat nå. Rosenborg kvinner I toppserien.
Må ha trener også da.
Må ha en trener.
Ja. Okay.
Og så vil jeg tro at det litt travelt for Mats Pettersen å være trener og sportsleder samtidig. Det går jo vel egentlig ikke.
Det går jo. Alt går vel.
Jo, men det går, men...
Ja, ikke 110% kanskje.
Litt travelt.
Så skal vi da snakke om... Det Jordi, ikke Hordi, men Jordi.
Jordi.
Jordi. Yes. Vi må lære oss der.
Ja, har det klart. Det
nei, du sa Jordi, du I sted.
Ja, Jordi.
Nei, Jordi.
Yes, you said really well.
Yes.
Jordi.
Ja. Yeah.
Ikke Jordi.
Nei.
No, det samme som Jordi. Johan, eller?
Johar.
Jordi.
Yes. Jeg kan kalle deg Joar da, det et trøndersk
Bakenga det, det Bakenga
Jørgen
For nå altså Rosenborg tilbake fra Gran Canaria Og 12. Februar så det Marbella Før det også en match mot Ålesund da, I tillegg til de kampene som kommer I helga Og så møter Rosenborg Brann og Vålerenga på Marbella Men vi tar lite rollefordeling her nå først For at folk lurer på det altså, What's your role in the coaching team? Alfred is the boss,
mm.
and you are the assistant mm. And you have Tetti on the side with you How do you, hva skal du si på engelsk?
Fordele oppgaver.
Hvordan fordeler dere oppgavene?
Mm. Well, I'm just an extension of Alfred when it comes to send and deliver the messages. And supporting, of course, I mean, one person cannot do the job, so we distribute different parts in the job description, and but at the end we are coaching, and not only Alfred and me. Alex is, of course, coaching, and actually we talk about everybody in the staff is a coach. Betle, as a physical coach, is a coach, absolutely. and not only from his area of expertise, but also when it comes to football. We want everybody to talk a language, as we said before, and everybody has to show in the staff a level of leadership to put direction into the target of the season. That's important for us. So we feel united and we feel that all the staff is aligned to send a clear target and that we can support each other. In my case, as I said, of course, maybe I have more time and voice and presence next to Alfred when it comes to the room presenting or on the pitch, applying and executing exercises and drills. But at the end of the day, I mean, we all want to share this role of coaching players, which is the target. We want to spend a lot of time with them. Thing that right now is difficult, to be honest, because we are starting to, you know, put some base and foundation into the daily work. It's a lot of time now trying to set logistics. Where are we going to do this meeting? How is it going to be after this meeting? How we share the knowledge or the information to take the next decision? It's a lot of time spent in setting the office, you know? This is how the day is going to look, and this is the timeline. And we know that's a time that we need to invest, but at the end it's going to be spend time with players.
Ja, men altså i gamle, altså tidligere da, det høres så modern ut der, men at en hovedtrener har hovedansvaret, sant? Noen hovedtrenere veldig aktive, talking a lot yes. på trening. Noen hovedtrenere lar assistenten ta det meste på feltet. Tetti var her forrige uke, snakket han skulle ha mye med de unge spillerne å gjøre. Hvem snakker mest på trening? Det Alfred? Lar han deg ta det? Deler dere de to? Har du noen øvelser? Han har noen øvelser?
It depends the day. Some days maybe I run the show a little bit more outside, but some days it's him. And some drills specifically, it's him who wants to send the message. So I think it is not like ABC. When we plan the week and we plan the day, we see, okay, this drill is run by Alex or by me because I want to send this information. And this drill in this block is going to be Alfred, because this is extremely important that it's me. So I don't think it's... everybody knows that Alfred is the leader and we support him. And then when we plan the week and the day, it's just dividing task and responsibilities, because we don't want actually anyone being passive or in the shadow. We want that everybody has a room and time so we can coach actually and the players can feel the coaching. Otherwise, once again, it would be a mistake from our side to have a big staff around and not making everyone to take the best competence and apply this competence into the best for players.
Because it seems, I haven't seen too many sessions so far this year, but it seems like you kind of organize the drills and then Affe, as you call him, kind of use quite a lot of time on man management, talking specifically to one and two to a player at a time. Is that just a coincidence that I've seen that?
I think so. Yeah. Actually, I think I think everybody is going from coaching to the team but ending in coaching players individually.
Yeah.
And Marbella is the next trip, but in Gran Canaria we already did it, and some of your colleagues from media around, they could see that we can coach the whole team, but we are ending always in small in coaching in small details to players, like I think it was a clip of Alfred coaching Jaden.
Yes, but quite fascinating.
Exactly, but this is something that happens all the time from every coach to every player. So, and that was it's a good one because actually it represents exactly how detailed we want to end in the whole process. But this is just a small piece in the timeline of a training.
For det, hvis man skal sammenligne med Rekdal og Frigård, så var jo tydelig fordeling. Rekdal tok ganske mye plass på feltet. Rekdal hadde det overordnet, sant? Mens Frigård var liksom den som hadde det mest med analyse å gjøre. Det du som analyserer? Hvem analyserer? Det du, eller det Alfred? Det begge? Hvordan gjør dere det?
Erik Selnes.
Exakt. We have in the department of video Erik Selnes, which is a fantastic guy.
He's also a coach?
Of course.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely he's a coach. Because at the end, when you sit down in front of a player and you have to present some videos or clips, it's not about what you show, it's about how you show it. And behind this how has to be a narrative.
Mm.
So, of course, you're coaching, you're leading. And that's why he's a key person as well in the staff, as many others. But I do my analysis as well. Alfred is going to do his analysis, and then we are going to glue all these best clips that we think are important collectively or individually. And then we sit with one, two, or the whole team to share all this information. So it's not like I do one thing and you do another thing totally different. There is some task in these job descriptions that they are pretty similar. Oh. But of course, then I'm not going to be Eric cutting all the clips in the game of the opposition, for example. But he's going to do it. And then maybe I want to, of course, watch the opposition and I take some clips that I think they're important. And then I send that to him and then we present that together.
Okay. Per Arle Dahlum er der. Du nevner Erik Selnes. De har jo hatt en klar fordeling at en har... Dahlum har jo tidlig analys klippet Rosenborg, mens Selnes hadde mye motstanderør.
I don't know.
Per Arle?
Per Arle.
He is, of course, part of this.
He's now more like an assistant for Dorsino?
Well, he is first, when it comes to us, he is, has been supporting Eric when it comes to filming trainings or supporting many of the video that we need from games. But, of course, he is in the department of scouting or following the players in the market, so best profiles that could be interesting.
Vi får ta det kortet etter hvert, Petter, for det litt endringer. Veier du, som sagt, fysisk trener.
Men, det med, men det med, jeg har lyst til å si at det mer spennende å se på hvordan de gjør det, enn å sammenligne dem nødvendigvis med tidligere
Nei,
team.
Det var sånt,
egentlig... For det handler litt om persongalleri, det handler litt om... jeg synes ikke det så spennende å snakke veldig mye om hvordan de her gjør det kontra Geir og Kjetil, for eksempel. Men det, med, det spennende å se på dynamikken internt I det teamet som der nå, for de jo ganske mange, og det spennende å se hvordan de løser det.
Men hvordan ser en, dere var jo tidlig ute og sa at vi må ha kamper på Gran Canaria for vi ønsker å få det her treningsukerytmen inn.
Mm.
Slik at det trening, trening, og så det match på helg. Altså treningsuka ender I en kamp.
Mm.
Hvordan ser da en typisk treningsuke ut da? Mandag, tirsdag, onsdag, torsdag, fredag, lørdag, søndag. Kan du ta oss hurtig gjennom det?
Yes, actually we like to, and that's how the season is going to be. We need to prepare the group to experience mentally and physically how a normal week is going to look in season. And that's going to be 4 or 5 days of training before a game. We play Saturday, Sunday or Monday.
If you play Sunday, then the Monday is?
Off.
Off.
And then we have the whole week of training.
For tidligere har det vært...
Aha, so it's game Sunday, off Monday, restitution Tuesday or...
Well,
when you say off, do you mean totally off, not restitution?
Yeah. No, in the day after a game, we are not going to practice or train.
Og så trener hver dag inn mot kampen etter den fridagen.
Yeah.
Ja, for det litt nytt, sant? Ja, tidligere har det vært restitution mandag, fri tirsdag og så onsdag.
And I know that this is maybe new for many players, but that's not a problem. That's why we have 3 months to adapt
this
play. Been,
it has been presented as kind of a nature, law of nature that day two after a game, you have to be... Really, take it really easy.
Who said that? Not nature.
some Lovely. Other feeling, some other coach then?
Love nature. I never heard that. It's beautiful.
It's off Monday and then really easy on Tuesday and then hard Wednesday, Thursday, more match specific Friday and then game.
Okay. And that's fine. That's totally fine. I don't think it's right or wrong. I think it's based on the way you want to apply your idea.
Mm.
We want to create a story every week and after a game... The story is closed. That's the way we see it. We could talk about mentally, and this is one part of the mental story that when we start the week, we want to build a narrative, how to prepare the best tools and how to apply them into the next opposition. And when we play and we are on showtime, after 90 minutes, the show is closed and the week is closed. That's the way we see it.
Yeah.
And physically, of course, we could discuss about this 24 or 80 or 48 hours after the game based on how did you say that before?
Naturen.
It was
nature.
Law of nature. Yes. Naturlov.
I mean, that's but also science is presenting this in somehow.
It is?
It is. When it comes to physiology.
So you're defying science?
I'm not, but I'm saying that science is saying that 48 hours supposed to calm this peak of fatigue so the players really feel and struggle. But as we said, you get used to what you are used to do. And that's why we talk about experience that for a period of time, you will get used and adapt, and your mind and body will accept. And that's why we have 3 months, which of course could be boring, long preseason, but at the same time, it's a great opportunity to consolidate us all these habits. And right now, yes, 4 or 5 days in a row training is the target, absolutely. And it shouldn't be a problem at all, at all. It's not, but we know that some of the players, maybe because Wicks has been built in a different way before, they are not used. Mm. And we have to respect that. This is something that we respect, that day by day we try to adapt the player to tell us how you feel after this type of training. Then for us, it's not like hard training or easy training. Every training has to be with a high level of intensity. Then we dictate which format do you apply into the training ground. And some days, yeah, you have to run faster. Some days you have to run faster and getting tired. Some days you maybe run a little bit less and you don't get tired. I mean, this is why we distribute all these contents of football during the week, trying to challenge the player, at the same time not compromising the recovery before a game, and then being sure that his best feelings are coming on the weekend so they can perform at the best level mentally and physically.
Det blir jo litt teknisk her nå.
Det noen som, altså hvis Ben Skammelsrud sitter og hører på det her, så vil jeg tro han har ståpels over hele kroppen. Ja. For han har jo aldri skjønt det her med å ha fri dag to etter kamp. Nei. De trente jo knallhardt dag to etter kamp.
Ja.
I gamle dager altså.
Ja da. Men før vi går over til det litt mer sånn sosial-pornografiske her, da, for å snakke om Jordi selv, så lurer vi litt på, for nå har du vært her I noen uker, går det an å sammenligne? Rosenborg, Hekken ble jo seriemester sant, i 22? Da var du der.
Yes.
22.
22, exakt. 22.
Hvor bra nivået til Rosenborg sammenlignet med Hekken?
I understand that you're asking if it could be the same level for Rosenborg
or
as it was
is Hekken.
The,
if you compare Hekken,
yes.
the winners in Sweden,
Nå ser han på
if you compare
Petter,
them with the Rosenborg.
Yeah. I mean,
quality-wise,
right now. I mean, I think it's too early for me. I saw the guys for 2 weeks, not more. It would be unfair. But I can remember how was Hekken when I was there after 2 weeks. And actually, it was a pretty similar feeling. You have great players. You just need time to work with them. And time will say. But once again, the belief on believing that what we want to apply, the way we want to work, and the message that we want to send is strong enough to be competitive in a short period of time was there. And now it's exactly the same. And I have to say that many of the ideas, methods or strategies and tools that I did apply there, in that case with Per Matias and other colleagues in Hekken, is also applying right now here from day one with Alfred. Because Alfred has been following also this type of methodology that we are applying and this type of leadership. So time will say once again, but the references are... In my case, of course, I experienced good results. Every team is different, every club is different, every league is different. But we believe in this way of working, and that's why we go 100% with it.
Og så to, vi skal straks litt videre, men du kommer jo som fysisk trener, physical coach fra Hekken. Vi har jo en physical coach I Rosenborg Vetle. Hva den store forskjellen fra din jobb I Hekken? Når du nå assistent her?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I said it before as well. My profile, it's built in an environment in Spain where at the university, you are a coach and then you specialize into the physical trainer profile. I mean, and we coach football, you need to understand the game and then you try to be specific in how to develop strength or running capacity into footballers. But pretty much differentiated from other sports. So that's why to understand the game give me a different approach into how to prepare a football player, not only from a physical perspective, but trying to optimize their capacities into the game. And that's request in somehow a level of understanding how specific is for Jaden, for example, to know how to accelerate or decelerate. Because you can be really good accelerating and decelerating, you know, but then you don't know how to apply that when you are receiving the ball and challenging one against one or trying to make a run in behind the back line. These small details is this clip where Alfred was talking with Jaden. And this is exactly what we do, because this is the last turn on the screw to make things fit perfectly. And now when we're here, of course, Bentley is a fantastic, I got a fantastic impression, fantastic guy, really good professional, really young and talented and hard worker. So when you have all these variables into the box and you shake it, only good things can go out from that box, and Bentley is this guy. And of course, I can share part of my experience because I've been on his department as well, focus on this part. So I just see that mixing his thoughts and ideas and experience with my experience, we can work together, unify. That's why he is now much more involved in the whole process, presenting or preparing trainings than before. And we are really happy that this is happening. From day one, when I was in Barcelona, meetings were online with Alfred and specifically with Bettle, because he was running, of course, with us the show of what are we going to do this week? How are we going to do it? What is the content? What is the strength? And of course, he is ending speaking football at the end when we are on the pitch as well.
Nå har vi to ganger referert til en samtale mellom Alfred og Nelson. Bare hvis folk lurer på hva det så ligger det et klipp på YouTube da, på Rosenborg sin egen kanal som fra Gran Canaria. En, ja, bare så,
ja, riktig.
Så man forstår hva det vi snakker om.
Og så
hvis man lurer på om vi har dagens gjest fra Spania, så skjønner vi når han sier Betle.
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 V, like.
How do you say it?
V.
V.
When you're from Spain, it's not possible to say V, because V is B. See? Betle.
How do you say Betle?
Betle. Now you say Betle.
Ja, Betle. Greit. Skal vi gå videre?
Yes.
Ja. Så tar vi ikke det. Så tar vi ikke det.
Store, He's from Barcelona.
Vi tar ikke den store taktiske praten nå, for det hvis vi hører på Johansson sin podcast for en uke siden, snakket mye om det med Tett I forrige uke.
Ja.
Jeg snakket mye med Jordi om det på telefon, så det ganske samkjørte guttene på det.
Ja.
Men det som litt, bare to setninger, dere kommer til å jobbe mye med det samme fra uke til uke til uke, både forsvarsspill og angrepsspill. Det jo noen, igjen da, Petter hater jo at det sammenligner med andre, men det jo noen trenere som veldig opptatt av fysikk de første månedene I oppkjøring, altså in the preseason, og så taktisk, 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 men dere kjører similar every week.
Exactly. I mean, but that's once again based in... other approaches, and science has been talking about that as well. Pre-season is not for us a way to only build physicality. We don't expect that the best version of the team is the 1st of April. But we expect that the version of the team in 1st of April is really good compared to today. But in 6 months has to be absolutely much better than in 1st of April. So physically... development now in this period of preseason, absolutely. First of all, guys has been coming from a resting period, well deserved, and now it's time to build up. We know that that's not rocket science. But then, what is important is that we can actually introduce our way of playing, so everybody understands. We actually, in a while, few weeks, we have this period that we call try to develop the way we play. And that when we end close to the 1st of April, that we have consolidated already our way of playing. So we divide this preseason in three blocks, and the message to players is exactly like this. Introducing, developing, and consolidating the idea of playing. That's why...
and we are now early in stage two, or?
First.
It's at the end.
We are, no, we are, lying, we are in the introduction still. Now this has been our third week with the team, and we have 5 weeks... first block where we can talk about let's going to speak how we want to play let's going to discuss let's going to have a consensus about how we want to play and we ask a lot about players what do they think we involve them a lot because that's how it should be and we have a lot of experienced players isn't it Marcus Ola
Etter 5 uker så liksom development da skal de forstå det og da det utvikling
yeah but it's I will say it's the same isn't it Utvikling, development.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and as I said before, doesn't matter if you are 16 or 30. Mm. It's a development for everyone because, first of all, many of the ideas that we want to apply, people or players has been already working with. Mm. But the small details are making these ideas a little bit different or totally different. And that's what this game model way of playing we want to apply is interesting for Håkon, but also for Marcus Henriksen.
Oh,
doesn't matter. For both are, because we sure that some detail is not going to be exactly the same they have experienced before, and that's going to change the whole picture.
Fordi, og vi kan jo bare si kjapt på det, vi har snakket om presspill, vi har snakket om det her skjeve 4-3-3 offensivt, vi har snakket om mer ballbesittelse og styre mer kamper, vi kommer til det og vi kommer til å følge med.
Super, takk.
Ellers, bare kjapt et par setninger om, det jo 30. januar, og vi sitter ganske rolig på stolen med tanke på at spillere nå skal dra ut de siste to døgnene her til de største ligaene, i hvert fall, Petter. Altså, overgangsvinduet stenger jo I flere ligaer I morgen, den 31. Ole Sæter, alt tyder på at han blir, nå har han jo litt vondt I kne igjen. Og hvordan kne til Ole Sæter I dag? Det ok?
Yes, everything seems to be okay from the medical team. We get good reports, so we're waiting and we are not rushing.
Vi har jo snakket litt om Børkeie, det har vært litt spørsmål ved. Alt tyder på at I hvert fall han blir nå I januar, så får vi nå se ut til, det jo noen vinduer som stenger senere, sant? Rosenborg hadde ikke råd til Ruben Alte, var kanskje ikke med på Kåbord da, han gikk til Kristiansund. 4 millioner omtrent.
Ikke råd til, eller slags ikke behov for. Det litt vanskelig å råddefinere det. Men jeg tenker at Ruben Alte har gjort et interessant valg, så får vi nå se om det var smartest å gå til KBK eller til Stabæk ja, på altså, et toårsperspektiv.
Må jeg forskjønne at han har lyst til å spille Eliteserien.
Ja, ja.
Det vil jeg gjort også. Ja, om, kanskje om Stabæk Eliteserien om 3 år igjen. Ja. Det vet han aldri. Mikael Tørseth Jonsen har trent med Ranheim, da, apropos det, en stund. Får vi se, det skal komme en avklaring der. Han var jo blink I fjorøst og var god der. Han jo restartet karrieren sin litt nå. Tørseth Jonsen.
Ja, det har vært noen tunge år for Tørseth Jonsen. Han var jo så nære på å slå gjennom I Rosenborg ja. For Hornland den første vinteren her. Og så har det vært fjerde sjø etter det. Var alt for god for Sjølsplink på tampen av sesongen I fjor. Og hadde passet fint for Ranheim, men også på Ranheim. Men det ganske bra med midtbanespillere.
Ja,
så det ikke sånn, det ikke et presserende behov.
Jeg får se om han, om det skal, jeg tipper at det kommer en snarlig avklaring der. Og så får vi nå bare se. Nemsik, som jeg nevnt. Men vinduet I Norge formelt åpner jo ikke før 31. Januar åpent til april så det jo masse tid, plenty tid men Jordi du vokst opp da I en utkant av Barcelona fotball din egen fotballbakgrunn startet du som bitteliten
I play football and futsal all my life I don't know how important or interesting is that. I know you guys, you like that. But it's a good point, actually, because I'm not speaking much about that. But I don't have any problem to say it. But I play football and futsal all my life. You know, futsal in Spain is big.
Yeah.
And everybody plays on the street. And I spent my career playing at good level in Barcelona.
Hvorfor valgte du futsal og datt du ned?
Because it's big, and I remember the point when I was playing football, and we had a big our team in top division, close to my village, and then I had some colleagues playing there, and they just said, "Okay, come and play with us," but it was professional at the time when it comes to time investment, but it not in terms of. Financial, you know, we did it because we love it. So it was not like today that futsal is really professional.
But how big was futsal in Barcelona when you played there? I mean,
not as big as it is now.
Football for Barcelona,
that's
we'd
another
say.
Story.
Yes,
I remember sometimes running around Camp Nou, and at this time it was you know the La Masia is this small building close to the stadium.
Yeah,
and I remember that was the training ground for the first team, and I remember. Luis Enrique and Ronaldinho and all these guys clapping hands like we were running like crazy around the stadium, you know? and that was funny. But we were belonging to a different world compared to these guys. We were playing at this indoor hall, beautiful, close to Camp Nou. And futsal at that time was a semi-professional area in the club. Today is a full professional sport.
How many came to see your games?
It could be some of the games were like maybe 2,000-3,000 people. I mean, this indoor hall is about 5,000. Is where Barcelona in basketball is playing, or handball is playing, or hockey is playing. So, but that was fun. It was a good time. And
but you were a skillful futsal player.
Yeah, of course. If I was there, it's because I had some skills. So absolutely.
But you were more skillful in futsal than in ordinary football, then or.
I mean, I spent more time. I think I was 17 when I moved directly to futsal. But I always said something. Many of the learning in futsal, it's really needed when you play football. And actually, I can see many details that you have in futsal that some players sometimes they don't apply in football because they never experienced that before. When you play in small areas with players pushing you all the time, you need to be skillful to protect the ball, for example. This is something that we look all the time in footballers. How good are you using the body? And sometimes we don't see that. And it's because, you know, you have bigger spaces in football. You have more time to think. So maybe you don't have so much body contact with the opposition as often as you have in futsal.
But when you play futsal in Barcelona.
Yes.
The top level?
Yes.
Eliteserien?
That was OBOS at that time.
OBOS?
Yes.
Ja.
So it was second division at that time.
Men har du vad slags have you some trophies in the?
No way, I was not that good.
not the national team player.
No, and I know you see. I play for Catalonia when I was under 19 and under 21. So it's like the region of Catalonia in the national team, some national competitions. But that was all.
Who would have been the best futsaler of the Rosenborg players today?
A good point.
En av få gang Petter Rasmus har fått et godt spørsmål da. Og nå tenker han her.
Ja, nå tenkes det. Hvem den beste, hvem ville vært den beste futsalspilleren på Rosenborg?
Eddie?
Ja.
Marius. You know these guys. They are technical.
Ja, det tror jeg.
You know, technical.
Yeah, they protect well the ball.
Marius Broholm, ja.
Ja.
Paul André var jo kjempegod, sant? Han var jo litt sånn den der...
Gamle typen. Nå det mer teknisk, ikke?
Ja, men han har jo litt sånn den fysikken der. Men vi skal ikke bruke masse tid på det, men var det... In front, scoring goals, or back, supporting the...
In front, actually, because I was like a target striker, turning around, you know, and then kicking right, left at once. So it's like a pivot.
Han liker å snakke om det.
Ja, klart det. Like a pivot in basketball, you know, that you are close to the basket, and then you fight in there, and then trying to throw the ball in.
So a target man in futsal.
Yeah, and then when you get older, you go back. you know, yeah. Now you don't want to fight. You're there delivering right and left, and that's all.
Men så har vi snakket litt om bakgrunnen din, sant? Men
but is it if you do a tysker now on training?
Mm.
Could you go in the middle and be, or could you be fantastic in a firkant with the Rosenborg players now?
I mean,
Rondo.
I'm there sometimes.
You are?
Yeah, because I love that and I like to play sometimes. But I can be a joker outside, so I'm delivering just right left. So that's fine. I can deal with that. So and I want to do it, of course. I like to be with the shoes on, you know, and touch the football. Absolutely.
Vi snakker litt om bakgrunnen hans da med UFA-licens, sant? Universitat de Lleida. Lleida.
Yes.
Ja. Bachelor i fysisk aktivitet, master i high performance for team sports, og doktorgrad, doktorship.
I'm a student doing my doctorate in Liverpool University. Which now is post because it's so difficult to combine all these studies and research when you are fully at work, especially at the beginning now that we are trying to set. Days are really long now and not days off at all. So, but it's there and it's a personal investment because I love to know more about football and I'm curious.
What do you research in your work with the Dr. Grad?
Yeah, it's about what we call... Team coordination.
Uh-huh.
So it's about collective behaviors. Try to understand from a scientific point of view, which is difficult, how humans we behave, but in football, in the sport. So we tried with different algorithms, formulas, try to collect data about teams well synchronized or teams not well synchronized.
Sagt på trøndersk. Fotballnerding på svært høyt nivå.
ja, det korrekt. Det korrekt. Men jeg lurer litt på for at vi nærmer oss rundt her da, men du sa til meg på telefon før jul, eller når du var klar da, det var etter jul, men at i 2011 så dro du til Sverige litt tilfeldig, du ville prøve noe nytt.
Mm.
Og da reiste du bare fra Spania til Sverige uten noen jobb.
Yes.
Bare sånn, og begynte å knock on doors, ringte på dører.
Yeah, why not? I mean, I always...
Hvorfor?
I always wanted to go abroad, and I love my village and my city and my country, but I just felt I want to know more around, I want to travel. I love traveling.
Hvorfor Sverige?
That was because my partner at the time, she had the possibility to study in Sweden. So then I moved there and into Stockholm. And that was the reason. That was the reason why we went there. And then for me it was like, yeah, I want to know football clubs around. And then I knocked doors in Hammarby, in Ugorn, in Oiko, all around the city. And I started working with kids with Hammarby, then with Ugorn. And that was the starting point. So I started from scratch in the city, in the country. And that was fine. Fantastic process of learning and meeting a lot of people.
Men fra å være der da, kids in Djurgården, så blir du fysisk trener for Norge med Per Mathias.
Yeah, but before that, coming from Djurgården in the academy like 5 years, I went to the first team as a physical coach with Magnus Persson at the time. That was the head coach of the A team before Per Mathias came. Then Magnus left after 6 months and Per came. And since then, we worked together for 6 months. Per came back to Norway to the Landslaget, and he just called me.
Yeah.
And then that was the moment I remember going to Ullevål.
Yeah.
Meeting Per and all the people in the association and saying, yes, I'm here. I make a presentation of 3, 4, 5 hours. I don't remember the whole day. And this is a okay guy. Maybe he can come and work with us. So that was the story to come to Norway.
Och det var ett landslag på gott och ont, ett landslag som slog Kroatien på det bästa och ett landslag som inte klarte heller inte det landslaget klarte att kvalificera sig till mästerskap.
Ja. Men en ganska kul och utypisk karriärväg då. Mm. Lite sån präget av tillfälligheter som kanske en värre karriär är att man startar ett steg och så plötsligt är man coach på landslaget liksom det
Of course, I mean, you know, at football, things change pretty fast. Mm. You could be going from Ugorn to the Norwegian national team trying to qualify for an international competition.
Var det du som satte Markus Henriksen som spiss mot Ungarn? Var det du som bestemte det?
Ja, det bra fråga. Bra spørsmål. Yeah. Actually, he asked me the first week, he asked me exactly the same question. Jordi, why did I play striker?
He still don't know.
But I will try to figure out the answer soon.
Okay, bare kjapt videre. Du har vært flere...
Det et jævlig bra spørsmål. Yes, ja,
han skåret, Markus, da, men det var jo et meget omdiskutert valg. Men du har vært i Stabæk, du har vært i Sandefjord, du har vært flere plasser I Norge før da du kom til Hekken og ble sammen med Per Mathias igjen. Your own ambitions as head coach? Is that your main target?
Actually, of course, it's part of the career. And I felt always a coach, and I've been coaching many years in other academy level teams. But in my senior time with professional footballers, I always felt I'm a football coach. It's true, I had the responsibility for the physical department, but I don't know how to do my job without coaching football.
Men har du en dröm att bli chef,
chefen?
Chefen.
I always said it has to be organic and natural. This work with Alfred came not by asking absolutely anything. Actually, after Hecken this last year, many other coaches has been asking me like, would you like to be my assistant or even be head coach in one of the teams in Sweden? So it came pretty naturally because when people knows me, they understand or they know that at the end I'm one more coach. So now I'm assistant coach. That's what I want to focus on, and time will say.
Did you just say that you could have been a head coach for a Swedish top club?
Yeah, not top club, no. But I could be like co-coach for some team. In Sweden, yes.
Han blev väl Foyston, assistenten som du känner Martin. Han blev väl headcoach I Örgryte eller något.
Exactly. Ja. And Martin is in.
Som var Högmos assistent. Men till slut, för det var socialpornografi, sant? Da jeg snakket med dig på telefon, så snakket
första gången du snakkade med en så lade du på så sa du han liker å male.
Ja. It's a painter.
You like to paint?
Yeah, I was studying arts at
That's
the university.
That's the first thing Ole told me after speaking to you. He said he liked to paint.
Yeah, I love that because I was studying in Barcelona arts at the university because art is, I love it. I mean, I like to paint, I like sculpture, I like art and all type of art. That's why I told you, I was asking if there is nice theaters in the city because of course
I can put a check on theaters, but you ask me about operas, and then I wasn't sure anymore.
Not in time.
Well, we can talk about concerts, events, you know, music.
A lot.
That's great. And events. I like art in many different expressions. But I like to paint, and this is something. But imagine if I have a PhD, I have my job here, I have to set my life, and I want to paint. Right now, I have to put some order and prioritize some of the things. But yes, my target this year is I can spend some time painting more.
Are you any good?
Are you
like a monk, or are you a Picasso, or are you a Rembrandt?
I don't know.
What's your style?
Knut Nydrum.
It's a good question. I like impressionism.
Old Nydrum.
I like impressionism.
Impressionism.
Yes. But, you know, I like Dalí as well a lot, because one of my holiday places is this small village where he was living in the coast of Barcelona, Cadaqués. And that's the place I like to go there. It's beautiful. It's pretty inspiring environment.
So it's figurative then? You don't paint just colors, you paint...
Yeah, more figurative. You're right. It's not abstract. It's not abstract. That's true. But I like, you know, to be surrounded by this environment of really creative people, positive energy. At the end, is everything related, isn't it? People with this positive and creative, and this is inspiring.
No, we have Tete, he is positive.
Exactly. So, yeah, I want to get inspired with people around me, and art is one of the reasons of people with an artistic side is giving me a lot.
To spørsmål til slutt. Fordi, hvor bor han et spørsmål, men nå bor du jo, vi jo I Fermansveien.
Yes.
We're neighbors.
Yeah.
We're neighbors now.
Du bor på hotellet rett over
yes.
gata her.
Yes.
For how long?
For as long as I can find an apartment or place where to live in the city. So actually, after our podcast here together, I go to the bank and talk to them and see if they can help me to find a place. So hopefully in a short period of time. Absolutely. So I can set my private life in a nice place.
Og Alfred, han kommer jo med sin sambo.
Mm.
You're traveling alone.
Yes, I'm alone right now here, and that's how it is.
That's how it is. Hjordi, thank you so much for having the time. Takk så mycket.
Tusen takk.
Det var interessant og spennende.
Det samme.
Ja, hyggelig.
Veldig trevligt at träffa er.
Han bra på svensk.
Ja, ja, vi burde tatt alt på svensk. Tusen takk, Petter. Vi snakkes neste uke.
Det vi.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.